Get ready for God's word this morning. The other day we were watching a TV serial, and in that serial there was this huge Navy boat that was in the midst of the most fierce storm. Okay, it was pouring cats, dogs, monkeys, elephants, I don't know what else. It was pouring and pouring and pouring, and the sea was rough. That ship was going up and down and up and down, and there was nobody on the deck. Okay, and then somebody was missing, so two guys had to go on deck to find out where this person was. And they could hardly stand because they were being pushed this side and that side. And sometimes we can feel that our lives are like that, isn't it? Yeah, there's so much coming at us, this pressure from all directions. Yeah, it could be pressure from our bosses to perform, to complete, you know, a certain number of tasks within a very short time, and there's great pressure on that. Or we could face financial pressures where there's bills to be paid and EMIs and other payments to be made, and there is not enough money in the bank, and you're saying, where will that come? I don't want to default. What's going to happen? Or there could be pressures of health and illness, or pressures where there are strained relationships. Yeah, strained relationship, maybe with parents, spouse, brother, sister, neighbors. I mean, in our own building where we live, you know, strained relationships, people going to the police and court cases against one another, and it just so burdens a person when these things happen. And in the midst of this, you know, we wonder, am I going to survive? You know, unanswered prayer. You've been praying for something for a long time, and that prayer is not being answered yet. It could be a prayer for a better job, for a spouse, for healing, for salvation. And you're feeling, so Lord, where are you? I'm that person on that deck of that ship. I'm being buffeted this side and that side by the waves, by the wind, by the rain. Where are you? And in the midst of that turmoil, you know, what kept those sailors safe was this. Not their ability to stand or swim or hold on to something, but they had a harness that was around their body that was latched on to something. So no matter what happened, they could not fall into the water. So there was that harness that kept them safe. And this morning, as followers of Jesus, in whatever circumstance or situation we are, I want us to realize and to know that we have a harness around us. Okay? And that harness is the loving hands of Jesus. Amen? So no matter what situation we are going to know that you are in the palms of His hand. No one can snatch you from His hand. And we're going to look at Scripture this morning to encourage us, to build us up, to strengthen us. And let's turn to a familiar portion of Scripture, and this is Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Okay, this is a Psalm of David, and it's a beautiful Psalm, and I think most of us are familiar with it. And I will read it out from verse 1 to the end, and then we will look at that. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, For darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Let's jump down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your eternal word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a balm to a hurting person, Lord. Your word brings strength. Your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, Lord. Lord, thank you that your word is life to us. It is food to us. As we hear your word this morning, may your anointing be upon me as I speak and upon us to receive and understand and be built up through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Familiar psalm, and we're going to draw out four truths from that. And the first one is in verses 1 to 6. And the first truth is this: God knows you. All right? You may think you know yourself, but really, God knows you. We may think we know our husband or wife, you know, all those who are married. You thought your wife or your spouse was like this, but 5 years, 10 years, even 6 months after you were married, you find out that, oh, you're discovering new things every day. Isn't that true? Yeah. Some good, some not so good. Oh, I didn't know you snore. You know, or this is how you look early in the morning, and so forth and so on. All right? So you hear what God is saying is this. In Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. Know this morning, that although there are several billion people on this earth, God knows you. All right? He doesn't know people. He knows individuals. He knows names. He knows Asha. He knows Glory. He knows Christy. He knows each and every one of us. In fact, the very hair on our head is numbered. Isn't that so? He says, not one sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. And here, in these six verses, eight different ways the psalm David is writing to show how God knows us intimately. Now, we may know people, but we may not know so many details about them, right? But God knows us intimately. He says, you know when I sit and you know where I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So God knows everything we do. He knows everything we think. He says, you're familiar with all my ways. You know, verse 4, sometimes he says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Wow. That means even before I can say something, God knows what I'm going to say. Now, this attribute of God, where he knows everything, is called his omniscience. All right? That means he is all-knowing. Today, when we want to know something, we turn to Google. You know, Google knows a lot of things. Facts, figures, information. Everything we want to find out, we can find out on Google. But God knows far more than facts and figures. He knows the deepest thoughts. He knows our fears. He knows our dreams. Okay, he knows what's going on inside us, the battle upon in our minds. And so the first thing for us to know is that this God of the universe who created everything, no matter what you're going through, he knows you. Think about Joseph when he was thrown into prison. He may have thought, oh no, I've been abandoned. I'm in a prison here. But God did not abandon him. God knew him. Think about Job. He had lost everything. And his wife turned to him and said, curse God and die. But Job said, no. You know, he knew the God who knows everybody. So the first thing for us to realize is that God knows us. He knows our motives. He knows our dreams, our frustrations. He knows our fears. He knows our thoughts. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He notices everything that is happening around you, in you. In fact, he knows us better than ourselves. So that's the confidence that we have, that God knows you. So if you're feeling alone this morning, don't feel alone. Okay, this is the harness you need to put on. You need to say, God, you know me. You know my situation. You know my struggles. You know my troubles. You know my dreams. You know my goals. That's the harness we put on there. Okay, God knows you. You know, sometimes even we don't know ourselves. You know, you go and ask a man, how are you feeling? How am I feeling? You know, and it's a very difficult question to answer. What do you mean, how am I feeling? You know, you ask a woman how she's feeling and you'll have 25,000 words. Okay, generally speaking. Generally speaking, but with men, it's a struggle. You ask men facts, they'll tell you facts. You know, in fact, two psychiatrists met once, you know, and we greet one another. We say, how are you? And they greeted one another and said, hey, tell me how I am. All right. Okay. So the second thing about God is not just that he knows you, but he pursues you. Okay. Look at the next few verses, 7 to 12. It says there, Psalm 139. Verses 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. All right? So, what it's saying here is that God knows us, but it's not just, oh, I know him. God is pursuing us. He is with us. Turn to somebody and say, God is with you. We need to believe that. This is another harness to put on. Okay? He is with us. We cannot escape from God. You know, the psalmist is saying, anywhere I go, okay, which were the places he was talking about? He says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. You know, the star that is furthest away from the earth is called Icarus. It's only 5,000 billion light years away. 5,000 billion light years. And that's the farthest known star. There are unknown stars probably beyond that. And so the psalmist is saying, even if you go to Icarus, God is there. He pursues us. Okay? And he says, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And what this tells us is that God is interested in you. He's pursuing you. He knows you, but he's now with you. You know, we are called children of God. We are called beloved. We are called chosen. And God's word tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we can be very lonely at times. Sometimes we can feel all alone. We can be in a crowd and still feel alone. Okay? Isn't that true? Yeah, that is true. But for us to take consolation in the fact that God is with us and he's pursuing us. We can't run away from him. Now, sometimes we may choose to turn our backs on God and to turn away from him and to go in our own direction. You remember Jonah? God commissioned him And he told them, go to Nineveh and tell them to repent and proclaim the good news. What did Jonah do? He ran away. Maybe there are people today like Jonah who are running away from God. You've made a commitment to Jesus. You started following him. And now you have gone in the other direction. And so what we want to say this morning is that even when we turn our backs on God, when we run away, God pursues us. Isn't that good news? Okay? So we have the example of Jonah. Even though he ran away from God, God did not give up on him. The wonderful promise of Scripture for those who've believed in Jesus is this: he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Wow, that's another harness to put on. To know that if I've truly committed my life to Jesus, he will never let me go. He will complete the good work that he has begun. I mean, an amazing promise of God is in Jude. Quickly turn to Jude. And you look at the last verse 24 of Jude. Wow, encouraging words. To him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? That's another harness to know. God knows you. He pursues you, even when you are good or when you are, and especially when you are bad, because he's going to bring you back. So this morning, if you feel you've strayed away from the Lord, your walk with him is not what it was. Maybe you're caught up in sin or just things of this world or busyness. I want to encourage you, turn back to God. He's pursuing you. You can't outrun God. Right? You can't outrun God. Okay, let's look at the third thing there. Verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Wow, verses 13 to 16 speak about this. God himself made you. That's a powerful truth. Okay, God himself made you. The picture here is of a seamstress sewing together, making a garment one thread at a time. And that's how he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Wow, amazing. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, you know, when we look at ourselves, sometimes we think, I wish I was taller, shorter, thinner, fairer, darker. If a person has straight hair, they said, I wish I had curly hair. If they have straight hair, they said, if they have curly hair, they said, I wish I have straight hair. If they have black eyes, I wish I had blue eyes. And we have all these things, you know, people do. But for us to realize that God made you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to somebody and say, God made you. You know, when you buy something, you have a little sticker that says, made in China. Usually, or made in India, okay? But you are manufactured. You have a stamp there. It's not an ISO stamp. It's a GOD stamp on you, okay? God made you. Wow, each of us is, God considers us precious. You may not consider yourself precious, but God considers us precious because he has made us. Now, the fact of the matter is, we're different, all right? But God made us. We are special. We are precious. We look at human beings. In India, you can't escape them. You walk on the street, you know, you're just people everywhere. When we were in Montana, I was telling the church there, I said, we saw more deer than human beings on the street. When we walked, there were no people anywhere because one of the reasons was very cold initially. All right, so the same, but think about the human beings. Now, all those who have a brain, put your hand up. We have a brain, right? Great. Have you ever thought about how powerful our brain is? Okay, just now think about it. I'll give you an example. It's like this. One of the world's most powerful supercomputers is called the Summit. Okay? It occupies 2 tennis fields. It costs $200 million to build, and it weighs 340 tons. That's huge. It can do some 200,000 trillion operations per second. Okay? The human brain can do, what is it? 10 quadrillion operations per second. Wow. We are amazing beings. We don't realize it, but we are amazing beings. Think of even a little finger. You know, there's so much that happens. Think of the development of a baby. How such a complex organism develops is really the marvel and the wonder of God. Okay? And not just physically, but the Bible tells us that we are created in the image of God. That's what makes us extra special. Okay, we are different from the trees and the animals out there. We are created in the image of God. And so what God wants us to do is to know that He has created us. Now what that means is how we treat one another is very, very important. Okay? And here's something I want to say to us. We've got to be very careful how we speak to one another. Now, in my old, unregenerate days, you know, we would just speak to people, and they use such horrible words to describe people, isn't it? Yeah? You know, if somebody is fat or is short or it's tall, we'd use those words and really shame people and say, and as kids, you know, I met my friend after 30 something years in Seattle, and we were chatting, and we remembered the nicknames people gave people. Now, we are on a group, okay, and 40 years later, those nicknames are still in use. Can you imagine? Okay, so, but as followers of Jesus, what we need to do is we need to honor one another and say, hey, God has made you, okay? So, one of the things we can do is let's not use terms to describe people. You know, now in India, we say, oh, you're looking very healthy. What does healthy mean? Yeah, that's another way of saying, oh, you're looking healthy. You know, and we can do the reverse. We can say, oh, what happened? You're not eating. You know, you look like a toothpick or something like that. So both ways, it can hurt. All right? So can we make sure we're not using those things because they hurt? God has made them as they are. Okay? Somebody may have hair. Somebody may not have hair. Okay? Or somebody's nose may be straight. Somebody's nose may be long. Turn this direction, that direction. We didn't choose it. Who made it? God. Okay? So let's be careful that we are treating one another with love and with respect to say that God has made this person as he is or as she is. Whatever the color of the skin, the height, hair, no hair, whatever, teeth, nose, just say, don't do anything of that sort. All right. So to know that God has made. But for us to realize that we have been made and we are precious in God's sight. God loves us. Okay? Gideon was afraid, and he was threshing wheat in the winepress, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to him. He's a scaredy cat. And what does the angel say? Greetings, mighty warrior. Gideon saw the angel and said, who are you talking to? Yeah, because that was his impression of himself. But for us to know that God has made you, you are special, you are precious, God, and we'll see in the next point that God has great plans for you. Okay, let's look at that. Back to Psalm, this thing. Verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. There's another harness for us to know. God is thinking about you. You are precious to Him. Wow, that's good. You know, that gives us great assurance through all the trials and difficulties we are facing. God is thinking of me. He is with me. Okay? And we can receive and we can declare and we can proclaim the many, many promises in Scripture. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, everything that happens is happening for your good. We just don't understand it right now. You see, our understanding is very limited. To us, it looks like what's happening may be bad. But in His sight, God is doing amazing things. Can you imagine the Israelites? Abraham had left the wherever he was, Ur of the Chaldeans, and had moved to Canaan, and he just obeyed God, and his descendants were there. Jacob. And then suddenly there's a famine in the land. Okay, but even before the famine, you had Joseph who was sold as a slave. Can you imagine Joseph thinking, God, what are you doing? You know, you spoke over me that I will be in a position of authority, and here I am sold by my own brothers as a slave. At that time, things looked bad. But God, who sees the beginning from the end, was orchestrating events to fulfill His great plan. The Israelites in Egypt, from Canaan, were only 70 people. 70 people. This number here that went into Egypt. 430 years later, they came out a few million people. Wow. God knows what He is doing. Okay, let's move on. The fourth thing is God has plans just for you. Okay, in verse 16, the second part says, all the days formed for me, ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. The script for your life has been written. That's what God is saying. Okay? God has plans for you. He wants you to do certain things. Now, it's up to you to get linked in with God and fulfill His purposes for you. You know, what are the plans God has for you? Think about it. You may not even know what they are, but what God wants us to know is to know that each one of us is special and unique. Only you can do what He has commissioned you to do. Another person can't step into that. All right? So you've got to say, Lord, what are your plans for me? What have you called me to do? What have you gifted me in? How can I be a blessing on this earth? He says, all the days planned for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We can encourage ourselves to saying, before the foundations of the world, God chose us. Wow, He chose us. At the end of time, He's going to reward us for what we have done. And our job now is to step into those plans. We don't understand everything, okay? We don't understand everything, but to take one step at a time. What is the next step for your life? What do you feel God would have you do? We've got to seek that all the time. Because it says here, all the days planned for me were written in your book. You've got to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And just in obedience, step in that. Now, the challenge with this is that taking the next step may not be easy. Okay, we've got to keep pushing through the comfort zone. Okay, we've got to keep pushing through the comfort zone and doing things that we may not have done before, but stepping out in faith. You know, I've told the story before. There was a guy in Mumbai. He was an alcoholic who was just recovering and had recovered, and he had put his faith in Jesus, and you know, and he was set free. And as he was walking down the streets, he saw people with leprosy. And now, he went up and spoke to them. What do most people do? They see somebody like that, they walk away. But he struck up a conversation with them. And he said, tell me, what, you know? And he found out about their life, that they had to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock. Anybody got up at 4 o'clock today? 4 o'clock to go and bathe. They would go to the sea and bathe there, because if they went after sunlight, people would shoo them away. Okay? So he felt very, very caught up with this. And he said, and here's an alcoholic, just come out of alcoholism, put his faith in Jesus. And he went to the church leaders and said, we've got to do something for these people. He says, you know what? I'll get a cycle. And I'll take a bucket kind of thing, a big thing of water, a drum of water, put it behind the cycle, ride up to them, take them somewhere so that they can have a bath with fresh water. Small step of faith. But see what has happened. Now, this was 20 years ago. Today, we have a work among the poor called, you know, Karuna, that works with people with leprosy. And they've got a huge van. This is their second van that they're doing, where the van goes to different parts of Bombay, gets these people together, was enabling them to have baths, give them medical treatment. All this has happened. How did that happen? Because one guy, ex-alcoholic, took a step of faith and said, I want to do something to do this. All right? In England, we have a friend of ours, Mark Jones. And they saw that there were many homeless and needy people in their city. We think the West is rich. There are lots of homeless people there. And he came up with this idea of a food bank. Gather food, give it out to people, and distribute it to the needy. Soon, not only did their church do it, and they started it in different parts of the country, but now there are hundreds of food banks all across the UK because this person thought of this and decided to do it. Amazing? So God may have great plans for you. And just to tell you, Mark Jones was, you know, he'll tell you his testimony. He was a terrible person before he came to know Christ. But then God changed him and did great things through him. All right. So in conclusion, put the harness on. All right. Four things for us to remember. God knows you. He's pursuing you. He himself made you, and he has got great plans for you. When we know these things, we can weather any storm that comes. God wants us to just trust in him and move forward. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you so much for your great love for us, Lord. Thank you that you have created us, that you love us. You will never leave us or forsake us, and you've got great plans for us. Lord, I pray this morning for each one of us, Lord, that we would know your love in a powerful way this morning, Lord. That we would know your presence in a powerful way. Oh, Father, would you do that, Lord? If there's anybody who's alone and feeling alone, would you give them a special touch this morning, Lord? Lord, those who are looking may feel hopeless. Lord, would you reveal yourself to them as their great hope, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Would you do that? We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.